Welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Broand at DFF underscore Madman. As always, Wildman Shane Manila is here too. You can find him on Twitter at DFF underscore Shane. And today we have a special guest, Bob Long, bringing a breath of fresh air from BigGuyFantasySports.com. You can find him on Twitter at Bob underscore Long. Bob, you're the author of what? Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. You need to tell us about this. This is something big. I know people love it. Maybe some of our listeners aren't familiar. So tell us about you and your Fantasy Football Consistency Guide.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. Always a pleasure. Shane and I have been good buddies on Twitter for a long time. I can always count on him. As soon as I post my first article of the day, Shane usually has it retweeted out before I can even check to see if anybody's even looked at it. So thanks for having me on, Shane. Thank you for being the man. The Fantasy Football Consistency Guide and Fantasy Football Consistency in general. I've always said for years, it's the best kept secret out there. If you've never used consistency in helping put together your draft prep or using it during the season, folks, you're missing out. This is something that I've used since 2002. I've certainly competed against some of the best in the industry and have taken them down multiple times. The whole concept of consistency is that not only do you want to draft players and have players that give you a good amount of points every week, and that's certainly represented by their total points for the year, but you want a guy that's going to do that for you every week that earns them basically what's called a clutch game, which puts them in a typical 12-team league into the top 12 quarterbacks for the week, top 24 running backs, top 36 receivers, and top 12 tight ends. By earning that clutch game, the more clutch games you earn, the more consistent you are. And that's what I've been rating and putting together for years. You can find all of this on BigGuyFantasySports.com. If you want the guide just to kind of read about it, just kind of get a grasp on it, just a start on it, you can either buy the printed version on Amazon, just search for 2018 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, or you can come to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports website. For only $20 for the whole year, you can download the guide, which is a PDF, the Excel version of the tier draft list to help you with your draft, and have access to not only all the articles all year, but the consistency report, or I call the clutch report. Now, you can put in your own scoring method and see how consistent the players were in your league last season to see then which guys you may want to focus on this year as well, and then tie that in with the guide. And I'm always there on email and Twitter to help you to be a better player and to incorporate consistency into your draft prep. And that's what it's all been about for the last 16 years. And looking forward to helping people again this year, win their leagues, make the playoffs, and just overall have a better season than they may have had in the past.
And I have to say, I'm actually a big guy, big guys, fantasy sports. I don't remember names. I'm terrible. I'm a subscriber, but I have it.
Yes, you said you were a big guy. You're definitely not a big guy.
I do have it bookmarked. I do hit it up all year. I do retweet Bob's articles because I do like retweeting quality content for any followers I have. And, you know, Bob's, he's all about consistency. And every once in a while, I have to break down and not just shoot for the moon and realize that it's probably a good idea to get some consistency on my rosters. So I definitely like Bob's methodology.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I think there's obviously a place for this. I mean, of course, any league can use this, redraft leagues as well. I'm interested in seeing how I can use this in dynasty football. Consistency, obviously, year to year or year over year. I'm a window guy. Every couple years, I think of wide receivers kind of in 2-3 year windows, especially if I'm drafting rookies, looking for those guys in startup drafts in dynasty leagues. Obviously, you can use this guide to find the more consistent wide receivers, running backs, tight ends to better your chances just going into a league. You know, a couple questions we wanted to ask you.
Right.
Why do you think that the consistency, you know, is important in fantasy football? Guys like Shane and I and all these dynasty leagues, why do you think it's important for us to look at this? Like, why can this help us win?
So I think what's important, and I don't play in a ton of dynasty leagues, and I know a lot of people, of course, you know, everybody in the dynasty leagues love the rookies and they're all about them. And I totally understand that. And that's what you're about. But what you also have to understand is that what I would think you guys are also looking for is those guys that maybe came into the year, maybe didn't have a great rookie season, but maybe that second half of the year, they found some consistency in the offense. So at the end of the year, when you look at their total points, you go, he's average at best. But every once in a while, you'll find some guys, and I'll bring them up in the guide and in the season to say, you know what? At the end of last year, this guy, this rookie last year, had a nice end of the season. You know, a couple guys last year I really like was Alex Collins. You know, he had a nice end of the year, you know, in Baltimore, kind of went, I think he went 5 for 7 in his last 7 games. So that's the kind of kid that, you know, people don't think about, maybe kind of forgot about, but you can grab him as maybe your RB2, RB3, and, you know, as a young player might now be coming into his own. And that consistency stuff will show up in the guide and help people who may have kind of overlooked those kind of players. And that consistency can help identify maybe the guys coming into their second year that could break out and be the stud that everybody was kind of hoping they would be in their rookie season, but weren't. And then kind of go forward from there and be the stud they were. I mean, Todd Gurley had a great or decent rookie season, but a lot of people gave him a lot more credit than expected. You know, then going into his second year, he was kind of underdrafted or undervalued. And I said, you know, guys, you know, he wasn't that great. I'm sorry. He wasn't his rookie season. First 6 games, first 8 games was great. Second half of the year was terrible. I told people stay away from him. He's not worth a first round pick, but a lot of people did. But going into this past year, I said, you know what? He had a better year than you think consistency wise. I think he's worth getting in the second round, getting him as your RB2 or an RB1. I said, but I think there's some improvements in that team based on the coaching, the players around him. I think he's in for a better year. Now, did I predict he's going to be number 1 overall? No, but I had him in a ton of leagues last year because I showed that he had better consistency than people thought, but everybody was down on him because he didn't live up to that first round expectation. And he ended up turning it around. And I think guys like, you know, a Jordan Howard this year might be in that same situation. And I'm trying to look at him as a good RB2 that might kick it back in with better team, better coaching, and may turn it around and be, you know, an RB1 worthy, even though you might be able to get him as an RB2.
Yeah, Golden Erks.
It's funny to me.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Jordan Howard's a guy that he's grown on me because of that consistency that every week I know, you know, he's not touchdown dependent. He's a little volume dependent, but what running back usually isn't. And yeah, with that improved, which should be a greatly improved offense with much better play calling. It's almost completely similar to losing Jeff Fisher when you get rid of John Fox. I mean, they're both terrible caveman coaches. Even if he loses some usage to Tariq Cohen, there's no way that Jordan Howard's not going to be the goal line back, you know, and if they're scoring more touchdowns, he can make up for losing 4 to 5 touches a game with, you know, a touchdown here and there. So, yeah, I'm all over Jordan Howard this year, too. Don't tell anyone, though, Bob. Yeah. Keep that between us.
No, I won't.
I'm thinking that this guide has just a practical use for so many people that we know on Twitter. There are guys that we play in leagues with that are, you know, sort of trendy, I want to call them. Like they ride the popularity crests, mm-hmm. the like waves. Like, oh, you know, this guy's being talked about now. He had a great camp and he looks great in shorts, you know, he's running really well and things are going well. I'm gonna move him up my board.
Best shape of his career.
Yeah. And these guys, I love being in leagues with them because they try so hard to be ahead of the curve that they kind of miss the forest for the trees. Like they lose that. Mm-hmm. They don't. This would really help ground guys like that and kind of check them where their thinking is really a bias because they're looking for players that are flashy and better at certain things. Meanwhile, Jordan Howard just keeps racking up the carries and the yards. I mean, it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to win you know, your week and your league.
Right.
And however you do that, and that, you know, I love the whole consistency aspect of
it. So many people look at last year's total stats. And that's why I feel like it's so important to present to folks, you know, that look at the week by week stats. Look at the consistency. Did they do, you know, were they there every week? You know, one of my favorite players of the last few years, you know, now he's obviously going to play backup to Kenyon Drake in Miami. But Frank Gore the last 3 years, every year I would tell people, guys, he was top 15 in consistency in a PPR league. And yet he's being right. drafted at 25, RB 30. And I'm like, even if you pick him as your RB 3, you probably be starting him as your flex. And every year, Frank Gore for the last 3 years would be in that top 15 to 20 range at the end of the year. And people would forget it, you know, just completely, well, he's old and he, you know, blah, 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 and this and Marlon Mack's there. And I'm like, stop it. Just listen to me. Look at the numbers of what this guy does year to year. Now, again, you know, I don't think his situation is the same now. And I'm not saying that you go out and get him, but you've got to look at the game by game, because it's those scenarios that I've identified in this guide to tell people, hey, take a look at this. You know, Kenyon Drake last year, you know, 6 out of 8 over the last 8 games, you know, certainly one of my favorite RB2s, Alex Collins. I'll tell you a guy that I think that people are really going to miss out on, but I'm going to draft in a lot of leagues. And I know Shane's going to jump on there and grab him in my eliminator league. But Lamar Miller last year, during the weeks that Deshaun Watson actually played, was 5 for 6 consistency wise in clutch games. But after that, of course, when Watson went away, teams were focusing more on the running game because they didn't have the quarterback to scares them. And right now, Lamar Miller is like RB28. And I'm like,
such a value. Exactly. Yeah.
And so people just go, oh, well, Dante Freeman's going to come back and he's going to take over, blah, blah, blah. Again, stop looking at the young, sexy players that you think are going to take over and get the veterans that have proven themselves worthy in the games that was in the most, you know, the best game scenario. When Watson was there, Lamar Miller was 5 of 6 in clutch games. And
it was a running back one.
Yeah. Exactly. So don't look at, like you said, whether it's the forest or the trees, or just don't notice, you know, don't be distracted by the shiny new young object, you know, the rookies, the second year, the guys that are coming up. Oh, this guy's old. I'm going to write him off. I give up on him. Don't do that, because those are the guys that normally provide you the best value because of the games that they played in their best case scenario, like Lamar Miller with Deshaun Watson in place. There's the value you're missing out on consistency wise that can help you be successful by being able to take them later and focusing on the big guys early on.
And the thing with Lamar Miller, I think people knock him for, is when he was in Miami, we saw the efficiency there. And a lot of us, me included, just imagined that with a full workload, what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he might not have reached those levels, but like, you know, both of you said, he's been a RB2. I think he's finished RB2 both mm-hmm. seasons in Houston. Right. You can't do much better than that. I mean, especially at a position where the turnover at the top is, you know, relatively high, you know, running back position, that I take that all day. And I actually do own Lamar Miller in a ton of leagues because people are willing to trade him for the 2-3 in what I think is a fairly weak draft. So I'll take Lamar Miller over Nyheim Hines.
Like I said, at this point, I could draft 3 straight running backs and draft Lamar Miller and Jordan Howard. I'd be giddy. Just giddy.
I think you're talking about my FFPC team.
There you
right
go.
Now.
There you go. You're winning.
The guys, I have my top 2 running backs, and I didn't go running back heavy in there. But, right. you know, what you guys were just talking about brings us to our next question for you that we really wanted to ask, and that's how you feel about rookies. And I sense some back and forth here. We're going to talk about Saquon Barkley. I just know it.
Yeah. So in the guide and an article that is also on the website that I've put out now for the past 3 years, I did an analysis of looking at the rookies drafted in the first 4 rounds since 2010. And of course, focusing on just quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And what the numbers show is that less than 9% of the 340 people that were drafted at those 4 positions have earned over a 60% consistency in their rookie season. Now, running backs are certainly the cream of the crop, and they are at 17%. So they certainly are the outlier. So, you know, Saquon Barkley is certainly somebody worthwhile to look at. And running backs have certainly been the more valuable assets of those 4. Tight ends has only had 2, and that's Jordan Reed many years ago and Evan Ingram last year. But the key is, and what I'm trying to show in that is that you're taking a risk. Then becomes a value of when do you draft a risky player like that and can they pay off? I don't have a problem with people saying, well, Saquon Barkley has certainly got the talent. He's on the right team, right situation. Zeke Elliott pulled it off, you know, 2 years ago. Le'Veon Bell's done it. It can be done. But what my point is back to those people is if you're sitting at the eighth or ninth pick, which is basically where Barkley is going to go in most leagues, you have to ask, I have to ask this question to you. Do you want to take a chance on Saquon Barkley? Or do you want to take a chance on a guy like Melvin Gordon, who has put up back-to-back 80% consistent seasons in a row? My point is that I'm taking the proven veteran who can has proven that he can do it from year to year. And if you don't get 80% consistency out of your first-round player, you're going to be in trouble. And so, therefore, I'm going to go with the proven consistency in Melvin Gordon. Somebody else is going to take Saquon Barkley. That's their decision. Me. That's my only.
I'm that guy.
Okay, and that's fine.
He's definitely going to trade Melvin Gordon. Yeah, I'll take Saquon Barkley.
That's definitely. No, I do like consistency. Although I do, you know, I'm the guy that does shoot for a lot of upside. So
right, sure.
You know, but in this specific instance, like I, you know, I'm not going to, it's not a wild stab. Like if the choice is between Royce Freeman, you know, at the 108 and someone's offering me Melvin Gordon, well, I'm going to take Melvin Gordon in that instance, you know, but Saquon Barkley, obviously that's a different tier. But, you know, honestly, even out of this draft, I think the only running backs that I could see and be comfortable taking over Melvin Gordon would probably be Saquon, obviously, and Rashad Penny. But outside of that, I'm not taking a chance on any of these other rookie
running backs. That's in a redraft non-dynasty league.
What's that?
League.
I don't know. Redraft?
In a redraft? Oh, okay. That's right. Your dynasty. Okay.
You keep doing it over and over again? I don't understand. But now, yeah.
We just keep doing it over and over until you get it right.
Redraft. I see the point in redraft, definitely, because, I'm only worried about this season. I only need. And, you know, Gordon's got a little bit of wear on him. He's been in this season a little bit, but he has been very consistent. He scores a ton of touchdowns now, except for his rookie season. And he's ran behind with what's been a porous offensive line, which has improved this year. So on a one-year basis, I take Gordon this year. So let me ask you this, Bob. Are there any positions or are there any situations that you're okay with sacrificing consistency for upside?
There are situations, and those situations would be after I have my starting team. So my goal when I go into a draft on a normal basis, not these eliminator best ball super flex leagues, is that by the end of the seventh or eighth round that I have my starting lineup of one quarterback, 2 to 3 running backs, 2 to 3 receivers, and a tight end. Once I'm past that and I have the consistency that I was planning on, then I will go and look and see if there's players that may have a little more upside than consistency because they're my backups. I will take a chance on somebody like that. But more often than not, you know, a lot of those guys are gone. But like I said, you know, I'll look at players who I saw some consistency late the year before. So I'll see upside consistency. Not necessarily upside, like I think there's a chance they could break out. I want something that shows me something, or maybe it's just the situation. They're, you know, they were a third wide receiver. Now they're moving in the wide receiver 2 spot, or, you know, now they're going to be the starting running back. But I'm not a big risk taker because I've been very successful not being a risk taker, but I'll grab some guys, you know, later in the rounds. I think I had Smith Schuster in a couple leagues last year that I took a flyer on because with Martavius Bryant being a knucklehead, I figured that, you know, he might be able to do well in that offense with Antonio Brown on the other side. But I call it kind of like calculated upside. You know, I'm not just going, oh, I'm going to take him just because, well, he's got a funny name. you know, I'm taken based on some, you know, whether it's the scenario of what the team they're on, the situation they're in, that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say I'm position wise. I don't take too much, you know, like tight ends certainly have their issues with consistency, but usually I'm not going to take too much of a chance on someone, you know, like I didn't have Evan Engram in any league because I just didn't. There'd only been one tight end since 2010 that had over 60% consistency. Now, he's proven he's done that. He can do that. Now I certainly will be taking a look at him this year in the, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds with, you know, guys like Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, of being probably my, you know, starting tight end at that point. But that's pretty much where I'm looking at when it comes to sacrificing consistency for upside.
So most of the time, kind of like anything else we do in life, really, as educated adults or just mm-hmm. any adult, is like the calculated right. risks, the, you know, not just on a whim, mm-hmm. but calculated. You're willing to take them if you think that consistency is going to be where,
There was some consistency in the past year. Like, I remember a couple years ago, I had, I just went brain dead. It's not Josh Doctson. Crowder. Who's the other Redskins Crowder. Wide receiver? Crowder.
Yeah.
So a few years ago, about the last four games of the year, Crowder and Cousins seemed to click, and Crowder was like 3 for 4 in the last four games. But overall, his numbers were terrible. And I kind of had him as one of my calculated risk flyers as my wide receiver 5. And that next year, he went like 9 of 16 and, you know, was like top 25. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for. That's the kind of guy that my numbers will show, you know, hey, this may not be a bad risk, because most people are going to look at the total numbers and go, there's nothing there. But I see something because I'm looking at the game by game at the end of the year. And, you know, he showed me something that maybe there's something there at the end of the year. I mean, many years ago, I guess I should say, both Jimmy Graham and Antonio Gates did that for me, where they had a late four or five game consistency run at the end of the year. And I promoted them as my top picks, you know, top value picks the next year at tight end, and both of them paid off tremendously. That's the kind of stuff I try to identify in the guide, as, you know, undervalued players who you might want to take a flyer with at the end of the game, because of the fact that they may have shown something, you know, whether it was late in the year or at some point in the year, where they might have some potential to, you know, be that guy that you can take that risk on.
I'll tell you what, Bob, I want to change the name. Not that the name of your authored piece, the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, isn't good, but I want to change it to the Dynasty Football Consistency Guide, because I honestly think it has greater applicability, application-wise, to Dynasty Football than even redraft. I mean, especially with the growth of Dynasty Football.
No, and I'm totally fine with that. We can redo the cover, and we can sell it as that, and nobody will know.
I'm going to totally do the forward.
we'll have both. We'll just call it, you know, you can be put out by the DFF, you guys write for your site, called the DFF Fantasy Football Consistency Guide for Dynasty. We'll just kind of rearrange some things. You guys sell it, and we'll share the profits. I'm all good with that.
Cool. I'm editing. So I'm finished.
I'm done. And I'm done.
You get a free copy.
That's funny that just listening to Bob, you know, talk about his roster construction, the way he drafts. It's funny. I'm almost the polar opposite, whereas I will take a lot of risks early in the draft.
You think?
Very early in the draft.
I think everybody knows
that.
But
then, you know, look, towards the middle, back end of the draft, I do start looking for guys like a Marquise Value. Lee, a Robert Woods, players like that, where they're not flashy. I don't expect them to go out and drop 30 points every other week, but I do expect them to at least get me somewhere between 10 and 15 a week. So even if you're a risk taker like me, you know, you can still use it. But I can't not, you know, I like flashy things. I can't help it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's funny. Yeah. I think I'm kind of in the middle, because the risks that I take are lower later in the draft. I'm not at the top. So what Bob's talking about with consistency, that's the kind of stuff I did even in our FFPC leagues, which you get to pitch here in a minute. I didn't take chances. I went with early on guys like Jordan Howard, Lamar Miller, kind of steady Eddies, guys with consistency, mm-hmm. if you will. And then later in the draft, because they're shallow rosters, I swung for the fences more, and I took guys that, you know, can maybe fill in on a bye week and shore up my team. But I think I do that a lot. I think I'm willing to take chances later, but I'm still getting guys that I think have high upside, like the Quincy Anunwas and players like that, which, you know, when they're playing, the potential for points is there. But yeah, it's funny, because Shane and I, we argue a lot, but then at the end of the day, I think we agree more than we disagree. It's just kind of like the things that we disagree on.
Yeah, like Amari Cooper's a top 5 wide receiver, so is Corey Davis, things like that.
I'll never say that.
On what, the Raiders team?
Wow. Come on, Bob. This is look, you of all people, okay? He was a top 24 wide receiver his first and his second year. His third year was a blip.
You don't want to start this argument with me about how bad I hate Amari Cooper, dude.
Goodness.
I want to hear it.
Tell me why.
Dude, tell you why? Let me go through the numbers this past year. 35th in total points, 50% consistency. He was wide receiver 46. This guy was being drafted in the top 20 wide receivers. How could you ever like Amari Cooper unless you're in a league that's based on only drafting guys with the first name Amari?
First of all, that's an awesome name.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not going to lie. If I could rename my children, I might rename one of them that. So I'll talk to my wife later about that, see how she feels.
So that your kids are going to be horribly inconsistent?
Well, they kind of already are. I mean, you know, they're 6-9. You know?
All right, then
but five. I mean, yeah. Okay. I look at it was one down season, according to Derek or David Carr, one. Whichever the guy's name is, the Carr brother.
One. There was no upset.
You know, he's playing on an injured foot.
Derek
or David Carr, whichever Carr he is, had a broken spine.
I know you were smoking before the show.
It was cigarettes. They're
right. I'm sure it was. Oh my gosh, Shane, that's almost as bad as your Joe Mixon pick we just had in the eliminator. All right, let me get to his profile.
I like this spot
I've
guy.
Got it. I just, oh, I'm so disappointed. So here's his past three seasons, bud. And I say this with all due respect because obviously you're mentally disabled. 35th, I already gave you last year's numbers. The year before, he was ranked 16th in total points. Okay, his best season of his career, by the way, 63% consistency, his best season, 23rd ranked. That's barely in the top, or, you know, wide receiver two. His rookie year, 21st in total points, 50% consistency, ranked 37th. Where in the world do you put this guy anywhere in the top five of anything? I would pick Bradley Cooper before I would pick Amari Cooper.
Oh, that
what are you?
That's a terrible. Bradley Cooper Shane. Doesn't play football, so you've already lost.
Yeah, well, based on consistency, I'm not sure Amari has been playing much either.
The kid is still it's dynasty, man. He's still 14 years old. He's had two top 24 fine. Wide receiver seasons. Okay, so he had 12. One his rookie season. He was 50% consistency.
No, he's had one top 24, and that was 23rd in consistency. So you're not following the trend here, bud. He's not.
And meanwhile, the biggest thing about it is that he's being drafted.
I know.
And been drafted as a wide receiver.
Well, one or top 15. I think he's 17th this year. The last time I looked at ADP.
Yeah, but have you ever paid for a Porsche, Bob? Have you ever paid for a Porsche and drove a Prius?
Oh, by the way, the past two seasons with the Raiders, Michael Crabtree had better consistency in both seasons. And
yes, Michael Crabtree was very consistent. There's no doubt about that. And he was the end zone threat, and he's not there anymore. And now all they have is old man Jordy and Martavius, which, yeah.
Okay. So now teams will double team Amari Cooper, which means he'll get less looks because they won't care about anybody.
Nah, they got Martavius. Look, Martavius.
That team. I love the Raiders. I'm a Raiders fan as much as I am a Browns fan, and I'm horribly scared to death of the Raiders team with Gruden in charge. I don't even know what they're doing. They picked up Doug Martin.
Oh, No.
They're doing
John Gruden's a whole other mess. That I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, that is a train wreck that I want nothing to do with this year. I don't want Derek Carr. I don't want Cooper. I don't want Lynch. I don't want any of that team this year. That team is a train wreck in process. No way I'm picking Amari Cooper. I don't care if I'm sitting there at wide receiver three going, do I take him or Cooper Kupp?
I'll take Cooper Kupp. Well, again, in redraft.
Yeah.
All right. I'm still going to shoot for the upside.
There's our discussion. We'll move on.
Shooting for upside.
Yep. Upside, baby.
That's all right. I'll grab someone safer later in the draft. It's redraft. I got this. I can pull a wide receiver two off waivers and redraft.
Sometimes.
I can't do that in Dynasty. I shouldn't be able at least, unless it's 14-man rosters. And that's a keeper league. That's not really. So let me ask you this, Bob. Yeah. So how do you account for significant turnover in top 24 running backs while still utilizing the consistency rankings year to year?
Well, I think the key is that what you have to look at is while there is turnover in all the positions in their top, most of that turnover is going to occur between number 13 and number 24. Your top 12 are usually going to be pretty consistent and pretty standard. You know, if you look at the league, you know, the running backs this year, you've got Gurley, Bell, Elliott, Kamara, Fournette, Gordon, Hunt. That top 12 guys are pretty set. You know, LeSean McCoy could be top 12 if Buffalo around him wasn't terrible, but he seems to put up the numbers regardless of who's playing. So, you know, he's certainly falling. I think he's a great value as an RB2 this year. I can't wait to have him in some leagues, but it's that 13 to 24 that really gets dicey. But I think a lot of it is, you know, I always look at is there a change in the team he's on, the players around him, and then kind of, assess it from that. You know, Carlos Hyde last year was ninth in consistency, eighth in total points. If he'd have stayed in San Francisco, he'd have been an RB1 on my list this year because, I mean, he really proved that he could do that. In Cleveland with Duke Johnson and then they drafted Nick Chubbs, that's going to be a little bit uglier. But I still like him as an RB, late RB2 or RB3 if I can get him, because I still think he's going to be the man to start the year and then take it from there. Yep. I think with Chubb looking over his shoulder, I think he's going to be driven to prove that he should stay in that spot. So I really like, you know, Hyde. But, you know, am I going to say he's going to be top 10? Absolutely not, because of the situation change. You know, but McCaffrey should be, you know, top 12, top 15. Devontae Freeman, guys like that, I think will stay. Dalvin Cook, obviously, you know, didn't play many games, will be there. Ingram would have been there if he didn't have, you know, his 4-game suspension. Jordan Howard would be back up there. Coleman, Lamar Miller, you know, those kind of people. So, you know, I think there's, while there is some turnover, I think it's more in the RB2 side, just like, you know, wide receiver threes are there's a lot more turnover in there. The key is to find those, you know, get those consistent guys in your RB1, wide receiver 1-2, tight end 1, quarterback 1. And then, you know, then that's where you kind of look at that, what we talked about a little bit earlier, which was the, you know, the situation where you're looking at upside versus consistency. And you know, it's really about whether they can have that same consistency from year to year. Some you can kind of look at the situation, go, yeah, I can count on that. Some you kind of have to go, changing teams, added a new rookie, may not be there, but that's all in the guide and that's all in the website and the articles I write. So, you know, I kind of address that to help people say it's not just because they were consistent 1 year doesn't mean they're definitely going to be consistent the next year. There's certainly game, you know, situations, teammates, new coaches, stuff like that, that can then make a difference, kind of like Gurley was last year.
So let me ask you this about Gurley.
It's just an intelligent way of handling it.
He was, and I don't have the numbers up in front of me, and that's poor podcasting. Yeah, his numbers were insane last year, and he was. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure he finished in the top 12 his rookie season, right? So. Close to it, I'm sure. So do you think he was being overdrafted after his rookie season and then underdrafted after his sophomore season, and then he'll be overdrafted again after whatever your third year is? Was that your junior?
You were correct on all points. So, you know, he came out of college. He was a stud. Everybody loved him, and they pretty much, you know, overdrafted him. So, you know, his rookie season, he was eighth in total points. He missed 3 games. He was sixth in consistency. He was 77%. So after that year, everybody was all over him in the first round. The problem was, of those 10 out of 13 games that he earned 8 of them, or 7 out of 8 in the first 8 weeks. Then he earned 3 out of the last 8. And that's where I was saying, folks, look at the second half. When people figure that team out and they figured that they just need to stack the box against Gurley because Goff was not, or whoever their quarterback was, Case Keenum, I don't know. You know, they certainly were stacking a box and Gurley couldn't do anything. And I said, unless that improves in 16, you're going to be in trouble. Don't take him in the first round. But everybody did. He ended up the year, second year, 15th in total points. But here's the thing. So 15th in total points, everybody thought, okay, he sucked. But his consistency was tied for 8th. he was still 70%. So that's when I told people, I'm like, okay, now as we go into 17, he's not as bad as you think with a new coach, new offense, new players around him. You know, I think he's going to be better. He's going to be worthy of a RB2 with RB1 upside. Now, like I said, did I predict him to be number one overall by far? Not ever even close. But I drafted him in a lot of leagues as my RB2, and most of those leagues I not only made the playoffs, but won the championship in. So, you know, now this year, is he overdrafted at number one? Well, no, because he proved he could be number one, and I don't see any changes there other than Brandon Cooks coming on the team that really going to affect him too much. You can't overdraft him at one because he's certainly a top three guy. You know, Le'Veon Bell's the only guy that's even close. I think he's certainly worth being a number one pick, and I'll certainly pick him if I ever get that chance. But I don't think you're overdrafting him. I think he's that good in the right offense with the right coach. Therefore, I think he's certainly worth that.
And just on that topic, like I've heard people, and I, the only reason this comes to mind is because I wrote an article last year about Sean McVay, about how he would turn the team around. And it definitely wasn't saying Sean McVay himself makes players better at football. It was more talking about the blocking schemes and some of the moves that he had made. So I don't even know what my point was, where I was going with that. So we'll just cut that the fuck out. Yeah.
That anybody's better than Jeff
there was a
Fisher,
point I think, that I point? Literally just got lost in the middle of. literally. I said literally again.
Yeah, that's funny. You were just complaining about that. You know, the one thing I want to know about is how this impacts quarterbacks, because that's like really, you know, for many people, that's a linchpin. That's the crux of building their dynasty teams. And Shane and I talk about it all the time with Sipes, our other co-host. And Shane plays in a lot of super flex leagues, and it's a big thing, you know, the two quarterbacks or the ability to have two quarterbacks start a given week. How do you, or how can our listeners really approach the consistency of quarterbacks and use your guide to kind of understand how they should be valuing quarterbacks maybe differently?
Right. I think, and I totally agree that the consistency really shows how close some of the quarterbacks are in consistency versus total points, and how that is so important to grab good value for your quarterback by not going too early on an Aaron Rodgers. And I love Aaron Rodgers, and he's certainly the most consistent quarterback out there. And has been for, you know, multiple years, but it comes down to, am I going to draft him in the third round? Okay, well, the problem with that is that his consistency, while, you know, last year was 86%, but it was only in 7 games, you know, he floats around the 75 to 80% range, which is fantastic. But, you know, if 5 rounds later, I can get, you know, Matthew Stafford, who was also 75% consistent last year, or a Jimmy Garoppolo, or a Winston, who was 70% consistent last year, Wentz, who was 70% consistent till he got hurt. You know, 4 or 5 rounds later, why would I not? And I think that's what I try to tell people, is that quarterbacks are a lot closer than you think when it comes to consistency. You look at total points, and you know, one of our, I call him our redhead stepchild that we talk about, is Cam Newton. Cam Newton last year ended the year third in total points, 348. Yet his consistency was 44%. That means less than half the games he played for you, he didn't earn enough points to be a QB1. That's what will kill you. It will kill your fantasy team if you draft a player like that, because you think, damn it, I'm, you know, my team is third in total points for the year. Why in the hell am I not winning? It's because of that. And it's those guys that will kill
I've
you
been there, and that's,
every
that's
time.
A great point.
And yet,
yeah, he's right. Winning huge for you, sure, on certain weeks.
Right.
You're winning big, but then all those other weeks, yeah, you're not winning when you could have won with
Andy Dalton. Let's not get nuts. But Matthew Stafford, you know, Matthew Stafford, again, was only 10 points behind Cam Newton, but he had 12, you know, clutch games, 75% consistency, while Cam Newton had 7. So that means 5 games, Stafford was a QB1 while Newton was not. If you win 3 of those 5 games, it may have made the difference, yep, between you making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. That's what the consistency.
Yeah, you know,
a hell of a point, man. And you're speaking my language because I love Matt Stafford. He's long been one of my favorite quarterbacks. And anytime I hear negative things about him, I don't think there's anything in fantasy football that's really that bad. It was always, oh, it's Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's this. I just think he's a great quarterback. And seeing that consistency in your guide, really, and I own him in a lot of places. So I was like, yes, this makes a lot of sense because I didn't draft him.
Well, not just that, you can also trade on some of that, or you can use that to your advantage when you're trading, just trading a name. Because and it's funny because I'm
100%.
After last week's guest, Andy Singleton was actually on, and he mentioned how, you know, there's kind of a one quarterback tier from 1 to 20. And, you know, I've been making some trades where I'll trade down a level, or at least a perceived level of quarterback. Like I traded Marcus Mariota for Blake Bortles, Calvin Ridley, and Tariq Cohen. And the thinking is the scoring difference between the two is typically, Blake Bortles might not be the best example, because he's a little hot and cold when given the opportunity to throw. But in general, the scoring difference between a top, the quarterback 10 overall and say the quarterback 16, 17, we're talking about 1.5 points a game.
Yeah. 30 points.
And but you know, obviously you can make that up with the other pieces that you're picking up in the trade, but it's, you know, it's that name cachet, and it's feeling, especially in super flex leagues, like no, I have to get Deshaun Watson, who is, you know, just, obviously he, what he did last year, he can't sustain, but that's another topic. I like using that for trading as well in super flex leagues.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I look at quarterbacks this year, and that's pretty much what I promoted in the guide was Rodgers and Watson, and those guys are going to probably go in rounds, you know, 3 and 4, maybe 5. I don't even look at quarterbacks until at least round 5. If Watson's there in round 5, yes, I'll take him because I believe that he can sustain, maybe not at that level, but from a consistency standpoint, I think he should be able to stay in the 75-80% range, which is what I'm after. But if somebody grabs him in a third round, fine, then I grab Stafford, or I'll grab, you know, Kirk Cousins, like I said, I'm kind of high on, well, of course, Wentz, if he's there because of the injury, and you, but the problem is his ADP is skyrocketing now that he looks healthy. I'd love to have Wentz in most of my, if I can get him in the fifth round, I'll jump all over him, but in a standard regular, you know, league, not these super flex, but you know, that's the kind of guys I'll be looking at as I'm looking at my redraft type leagues where I don't want to take that chance too early. Now, would I love to have Rodgers in the fifth round? Absolutely. I'd dive all over him if I could. But, right, you know, if he goes in round 3, then somebody's going to take him around 3, and I'll just save the path and see who's sitting there in round 5 and kind of analyze it.
Yeah, that's funny. My home league, it's funny. Actually, it's a two-person, it's a two-player keeper. So basically a redraft league. And there's me and one particular owner. It's almost like a contest every year to see who can wait the longest for a quarterback. Last year he did finally best me because he didn't even draft one. He actually won the championship in that league, but he ended up just picking one up, you know, after the draft, and he was fine.
So pick 415 in the Fantasy Cares Eliminator Lung Draft Update was, look, DFF Shane took Amari Cooper. What do you
did.
Know?
Yeah, big
ahead
surprise.
Ahead of Stephon Diggs. Oh, dude, I've just started losing respect from you for every second
Stephon
here.
Stephon Diggs, I don't even want to hear about him. How consistent is he? No. Tell me, how consistent is Stephon
Diggs? Bob's a...
How when consistent he's on the field. Was Stephon Diggs? Well, he was 64% at left team at wide receiver 22. He was 19th in total points, missing 2 games, still light years ahead of Amari Cooper.
I will say this. I will say this about Stephon Diggs.
You're
if
a man after my own heart.
If he just wears me with the soft tissue injuries. That's really all it is with him. If I didn't have those concerns, he definitely would be ranked higher for me. So if he can give me one season where I don't hear about those injuries, I'll be all over him. Like Alshon Jeffrey, all of a sudden, no one is mentioning the fact that the guy's made of China. even though he had off-season surgery. But he didn't, yeah, but you know, he was able to stay healthy all year. That's all I need from Diggs. Just give me that 1 year where I don't hear anything about a hamstring.
No, he played 14 out of 16 games. No, wasn't that
he's
bad.
One of those guys that it just felt like every week I was reading about him on the injury report for something or another. And typically the soft tissue injuries. You know, I don't mind missing guys missing days here and there for maintenance. But when you keep hearing the soft tissue injuries, those are just the ones that's my bugaboo. So, Bob,
yeah, I hear you.
I did clue Jeremy in because I didn't think it would be fair not to. It's not cheating.
You were cheat.
But I thought it'd be fun if you just throw a couple players at us that we can guess one-on-one, me versus Jeremy, as to who's more consistent, player A player B.
Okay. All right. So, well, I figured I'd pick two from
each
position.
So not Amari Cooper, though. And I'm going to guess he's not part of this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, because I would probably compare him to, I don't know, somebody who's dead. No, still there. all right.
I like this.
All right, so we're going to start at quarterback. Who was more consistent last season? Casey Keenum, Blake Bortles?
Oh, I feel like this is a trick question. I'm going with Bortles.
Wild guess. Bortles was... Yeah, Bortles probably was, but I'm going to say
it was Blake
Keenum,
Bortles by whatever. One game, 56% versus 53%. A lot of people would have think Casey Keenum because of Minnesota going so far and they had a successful season, and Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles. But Blake Bortles actually came on at the end of the year. I think he went like 4 for 5 at the last 5 weeks consistency-wise and actually looked pretty decent second half of the season, even going into the playoffs, but very close, but yes, Bortles wins by one game, 56% to 53%.
Sure. All right. Hold on. We got to make sure that we know that I am winning 1-0.
Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, you better keep score. That Shane's like my kids, man, when they fight over each other over a piece of lint on the floor. Who can get there first? I'll tell you what, I'm glad to hear that because I'm a Blake Bortles fan, and I follow the Blake Bortles Facts on Twitter,
at
Bortles Facts. It's hilarious.
Oh, yes, I have seen that on Twitter. It's hilarious. Man. Like, he has more, you know, Super Bowl appearances than, you know, somebody who's never been there or something. It is hilarious.
He's never lost a Super Bowl.
All right, we're going to the running backs. Who was more consistent last year, Christian McCaffrey or Duke Johnson?
Oh, damn it. I'm going to go with – no, you stop. I go first because I won the last round. Duke Johnson. Damn it.
I said Duke too. So
you're both
know.
Right. It was Duke by one game, 12 clutch games versus 11 over McCaffrey.
So without even looking up the scoring, I didn't realize McCaffrey had that many clutch games.
Yeah. No, McCaffrey actually was really good last year.
I'm just glad to know all these players I like are doing so
well.
All
right. Who is more consistent last year, Mike Evans or Larry Fitzgerald? Mike Evans, 8% to 75%.
Wow. I really do.
Going into last season, Mike Evans was my poster child for inconsistency. I would tell people, don't draft him too early. He is not worth it. And last year, he ended up with a terrible total point season, 17th, and in the 15 games he played. Yeah. But his consistency was 80%. 16th overall. And so everybody is down on him this year, and I am gobbling him up as my wide receiver too. Well, in the eliminator league, I took Antonio Brown and I have Mike Evans in the second round as my wide receiver too. And I mean, I think in you know, the games that he didn't earn clutch games was the games that Winston missed. So if Winston would have played the whole year, he might have been much better. So
I was just
all right.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You mentioned Winston as a, you know,
and normally
pretty
he's
consistent
not.
Guy
normally
last
I don't
season.
Like
so
him either.
Some synergy between those two guys.
All right, last ones here. We're going to look at the tight ends. So here we go. Who was more consistent last year, Jimmy Graham or Ben Watson?
And the answer is, we both guessed the same. So Shane's going to stay a point five. He's going to stay a half a point ahead
Wait,
of me.
We both
went
with Watson too?
I didn't hear you.
He's still going to win.
Yeah, Watson by one game,
Watson.
11
Watson.
Versus 10. And yet Ben Watson, talk about a sleeper going into this year. He went back to New Orleans and now becomes a starting tight end in New Orleans were 2 years ago, he was 70% consistent when he played New Orleans. So keep that in mind when you're drafting those late round tight
ends. Ben Watson's actually a guy I've picked up off waivers here and there. It's like people, you know, he's old, whatever. I don't care. The guy's an athletic freak and he produces. And yeah, he's back to the place that he produced. I think the best numbers of his career, at least in the last, you know, 8 years or so since the guy is, what, 35 or so now? Right. He's still good, though. Still good.
He does it. Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
So I beat you. I won.
You won.
I thought there was another tight end.
No, we're doing one. We're doing two players.
Okay, that's fine. You won by half of them.
We're comparing two.
You know, this wasn't on the show sheet, Bob. But
So you won.
Give me one guy you think that people – you've already named a few probably. Yeah, matter of fact, you have. But is there anyone else do you think that people might actually be sleeping on still?
Well, I mentioned Lamar Miller. I mentioned Ben Watson. Like I said, quarterback, I think Winston is one of those guys that people are kind of, you know, forgetting about and has potential to be up there. So I've named a tight end. So I think if there's probably another wide receiver, I would say Rishard Matthews. He's always been fairly consistent in Tennessee with Mariota at the helm. I know Corey Davis will be allegedly healthy in play, but you know, he kind of has a rapport with him. Yeah. And you can get him as your like wide receiver 5 or 6. People are just, you know, totally given up. But, you know, he's always been kind of a favorite of Mariota since he's been there. And I kind of like him as a late round guy.
Yeah, that's a player I like. Yep.
That offense is going to be sweet with LaFleur as the coordinator there. I think I just see really good things for that team offensively. A lot and nothing changing with Rishard Matthews. He's been a steady Eddie. He's a guy you can get so late and help you win your championship. And Bob and I are going to start a podcast. I decided I haven't even asked him, but we're going to something with consistency in the word. I love this guy. We're going to do. I usually don't rub elbows with, like, you know, popular and famous people. I don't even seek autographs, but
Dynasty consistency.
We're start a podcast with Bob, and we're going to call it Dynasty Consistency Podcast. And Shane,
I was
going to
say I'm popular. Hilarious, son of a bitch.
People love you.
And every week we'll talk about how much I hate Amari Cooper. And
that's all right. Don't worry. I'll have Jordy Nelson in the 19th round, and he'll be getting me 12 points a game. So I'll be fine.
Yeah. No.
It'll all work out.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
It'll work out. You know, Bob, every week we normally have like a trade alert where Shane just interrupts randomly anyone who's speaking and says trade alert, and, you know, comes up with something that either from our webpage or his own trades, and we discuss it. But we're so immersed in this consistency stuff that I think we might have skipped that and our trash dynasty trades this week, and all we have left really are reads for you know, paying the bills.
Well,
basically,
thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, man. Our pleasure altogether. Really appreciate you joining us. I mean, today we got to talk with Bob Lung. You can find him on the Twitter box at Bob_Lung, BigGuyFantasySports.com, and the inventor, the creator, and author of Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, which I changed the name to Dynasty Football Consistency Guide because I think the application is tremendous.
Nah, I'm just happy to have Bob on. Bob's a good dude. He's a great fantasy football follow. He's right about that time of the year where he will give away consistency guides to people that follow him, the lucky, whatever lucky number it is. He's a good dude.
Even Major League Baseball players.
If they're listening, hey, everyone, everybody in his Eliminator was gifted with a guide. And I think last year I was in 175 Eliminators, give or take. Bob, and, you know, not the two Bob's horn, but Bob was, I think, one of the few that, you know, he doesn't have to do it. It's all for charity anyway, and people are going to sign up. And Bob's, you know, like, hey. And after the fact, I think, matter of fact, he's just like, hey, you guys want a guide? Here you go. Thanks for signing up, and I'm going to beat your ass.
I'm still going to beat your ass.
No, I think it was funny because I think somebody said that in the Eliminator chat room. They're like, Bob, you've given everybody your answers. And I go, I still win. I don't care. It's fine. Because you'll be tantalized by some, you know, shiny new player. And you go, well, Bob says I should draft this. But damn it, I really love, you know, Royce Freeman. I got to grab him. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Because, you know, you just can't look away. It's like a train wreck. You know, they just can't look away from the rookies. Somebody will draft them. And, you know, I draft my consistent players. And, you know, that works well in these best ball eliminator things. Like I said, I made it to I think third spot last year before I finally got knocked out. And that was only because it was the week that Antonio Brown got hurt and didn't play. And that's what hurt me, because I was doing well.
I can't even lie. I was in so many last year. I was hoping to lose just so I could close the goddamn DM threads, because I had so many. I was just, oh my God, am I still alive in this league? Like, can I just leave?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I hear you.
They're fun, though. Yeah. Draft and just see how you do.
It's fun. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for having me. And, you know, I'm available all summer, so maybe we can do this next month and talk some more and see what some players that may have moved up or down and see what values we still have out there.
Well, just think next month will only be 2 months away from football season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't care. Don't care. I could talk about it every day. It's fine.
Hey, Bob, where can people get this guide? Again,
so again, they can get, if they want the printed version, if you're one of those people that have to have a book in your hand, you have to have a printed version, then go to amazon.com. You can buy it there. Like you said, just search on a consistency guide or fantasy football consistency guide. You should find it pretty easily. There isn't any other consistency guides out there to help you, so should find them pretty easily. But if you kind of are okay with a PDF version and you want updates all year, then you can come to Big Guy Fantasy Sports and get the guide there, or you can buy the $20 VIP access whole season. You get everything to help you consistency wise, and you know, I'll be there for you as well.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bob. We really appreciate having you on and you joining us. And I think obviously our listeners are better off for tuning into this episode for sure.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
The fastest growing dynasty football website, us, DFF, has joined forces with the biggest high-stakes fantasy football platform on the planet, the FFPC. The Dynasty Football Factory is proud to offer these exciting and new Dynasty high-stake leagues in an exclusive partnership with the FFPC. Leagues start at just $77, but the sky is the limit. Take your game to the next level. Think you have what it takes? Then raise the stakes. Go to DynastyFootballFactory.com. Click on the FFPC logo to sign up today. Remember, always be building. Go to the Dynasty Football Factory, click on the FFPC logo, and make sure you let them know that you were referred to them by us. Also, if you're listening to this show, go check it out and see if there's any spots left in my Superflex draft that's supposed to start Monday, but we got two spots left.
Yeah, do it. Beat Shane and the FFPC.
Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. Wow. A chance to learn from NFL execs and coaches. With over 350 years of NFL experience, 14 Lombardi trophies between them. All here to teach you. Go on to the Fantasy Football, Dynasty Football. Yeah, you read that.
Scout NFL football like a pro and join the Academy. The Scouting Academy. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com. Look for the Scouting Academy logo on our website and save.
Really appreciate Bob Lung coming on. Check out his consistency guide. But you know what else you need to check out, Jeremy? Need to go check out the rest of the Dynasty Football Factory podcast. We've got a brand new Dynasty Warzone. It's been going through some changes, like David Bowie. So check that out. Yeah. My man, Memphis the Outlaw, right. Randall, has been holding it down the last couple weeks by himself. And then he had a guest and he's been awesome. You want to go check out the Devi Watch podcast, the Capology 101, the IDP Edge Crushers. We're going to have the Rookie Fever starting soon. I got the Rookie Fever or the Scarlet Fever. Rookie Fever. Definitely Rookie Fever. I even heard that there is going to be the return of the Super Flexible podcast. But we'll talk about that later.
Nice.
Peace.
Well, we're out. We'll see you next week.